focused on.
Yeah, anyway, this is, I wanted to do this for, just for podcasts, and I'll specifically do it in Hungary, the devotees. But it was just to sort of go over some of my experiences in this whole health crisis, and also things that I learned and things that I experienced. It was overall a very educational experience, and I think it. Some of the things I can share are value for devotees. It was, in January I had that operation, and then I went back to Hungary, and from Hungary I went to India. I had about a almost a three-week break. And I went to Mayapur. And then when I was in Mayapur, then I started noticing that I was having some problems, same problems again. Basically, the problems are just about being able to pass water. And so I talked to Sundarananda, and he said, well, when you come back from India, then come here. And of course, as it so happened that even when I was in Goa on a break, my mother, even on her birthday, she fell, and she went to the hospital. But then she checked herself out the same day, and then sometime when I was in Mayapur, also that same happened. She again fell, and this time they sort of kept her in hospital, and I guess she was willing to also stay. And so at a certain point, my cousin sent me a message where he said that, you need to manage this. I can't. Number one is that he's traveling, obviously, and the other is that it's my responsibility, especially if there's decisions to be made. So I was in daily contact with my mother, so then got an airplane, and I came through London, and I stopped off. I went to see Sunanda, and he did a test, and it was ideally it would have been good if I would have just stayed there and had this procedure done, but I just couldn't, and I knew, it could end. I'd end up another week, and so I really wanted to get my mother out of the hospital. So it was a bit of a gamble, but anyway, I went, because if anything happened in Toronto, then it was, first of all, there's no insurance, health insurance, and second of all, then it's all with people who aren't clued in, they don't know, so who knows what they end up doing. But as it was, I did all right, got my mother out, and I left to come back. And so I came back here. Even on the day that I was leaving, I had no appetite, which was sort of very strange. I mean, no appetite, not that I wasn't hungry, I just had no appetite. I didn't eat, and I wasn't feeling very well. So I suspected something wasn't right. But then when I arrived, then the arrangement was I arrive, go to Preeti and Deepak's, and put down the put the deities down, and did a quick puja. I took a shower, Hare Krishna, and and then I went to the hospital. I got into the hospital, I don't know what time, and 10:30, that's right. I went into my room, which ended up becoming sort of my Tirtha. Bhajan Kutir. And then I went in, I don't know, around 1 o'clock for the procedure. It really meant to be 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It ended up being more complicated than Chandrananda planned. And but anyway, it happened, and that was sort of one thing that finished. But then at that time, sort of unbeknown to me, because I was low on oxygen, and I was breathing sometimes an oxygen mask. And aside from the fact that I was beat, because I came over on a plane, so I didn't sleep on the plane, even though it was a business class ticket, and I didn't really sleep. And so the first day, sort of, first night was all right, but then at night, they just, because my kidney function started to go down, and their symptoms started going up, and like creatinine and urea and potassium, which all have different far-out effects. And I didn't know that at that time yet. The main thing was that I was really tired, so they kept checking these things and waking me up so I couldn't sleep. So I was like really, really, really tired. And I, at the same time, I was on the drip at that time. And that was when the storm was also storm started. It was, wind was blowing, it was snowing, it was all kind of things. That was the first day. So I arrived on Thursday, right? And then Friday, I was still pretty good because I ate. I ate on Friday, but already the creatinine was like up to 250 or something like that, and it was going up. But because my oxygen level was low, I was on oxygen mask, although I couldn't stand the oxygen mask, because one of the things when one of these really bad symptoms that I had to deal with was nausea. When your urea goes up, then you become very nauseous. So it's like any smell. Well, you know how big the room was. Shambhihari would come in, and I could smell his coat across the room. And I would say, take your coat off and take it out. I couldn't stand any type of smell. And so I couldn't stand the plastic mask on my nose. But because I was just very, very tired, very exhausted, and doctors, well, at that time it was Sunarananda, and then he brought in a house doctor, not house doctor, but GP, Professor Mathur, who's a very, very nice man, and they were concerned about why my breathing and my oxygen was like that. So about around Friday evening, by the time you'd gone, and they thought that maybe I have an embolism on my lung, and they need to see, and that was, I said, that's really dangerous. So they said we need to do a CT scan, but as it so happened, the CT machine had broken down in the hospital. So the only thing nearby CT scan was in Watford General. But like here, there's a blizzard going on, and it was freezing. It was just so cold in that room, even though we'd already brought our own heater, and everything was on. So they told me, Dr. Mathur, Sundarananda, and Sundarananda was really, he was like sort of babysitting me. It's like, even yesterday when I went to have this little checkup procedure done, he came and picked me up, he took me in, everything was already done, checked me in. He was doing everything, and like Pandrik Prabhu came, when he came, he said, you know, surgeons don't do these kind of things. And, yeah, he was, I mean, it's like I'm practically married to him, you know. Talk to him three times a day. He'd come in, at, you know, twice a day, especially when, so he was regularly there. He was very, very, very helpful. And so around, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, he said, "This is very dangerous. We really need to see potentially very dangerous if it's true." And then he only told me later that his real problem was that on one side, you know, the original procedure that he did for that, you know, you can't be on any kind of blood thinner. Your blood has to be normal. But in order to, if there was a clot on the lungs, then you had to take blood thinner. And he didn't know that would be a very, very difficult thing to deal with. Because on the other side, I could then bleed away on one side. And so he was in anxiety. And then, so at 10 o'clock, he told me, we're going to go to Watford General. I said, "Is there any other place we could go to?" He said, there's nobody available. So one of his colleagues, radiologist, he, you know, woke him up. He'll be there. And the problem was there was no ambulance available. There's no ambulances. Well, anyway, he ended up, you know, taking a risk, a professional risk, and, you know, he took me in his car. So we went in a car. I had my other sweater. By the way, I gave him that sweater. It was a gift. And so I was just in my sweater, and I had slippers, and so we got in the car, we got into Watford General, and so he mentioned that this contrast, which they inject into you, it's called contrast, it's a dye, so that they can see the organs. He says that it may not be good for your kidneys, but that's much less of a threat than if we do this. So it was 2 o'clock. By 2 o'clock in the morning, by the time we got into his car, and at 2 o'clock, then we went to Watford General, and there were went to the emergency, and there were, like, you know, five kids over there who were going nuts on drugs. And the police couldn't, it was like walking at the police station or something, and the police couldn't figure out, you know, what they were on. But he just immediately arranged for everything. They whisked me up, took me up, said the doctor that he'd woken up at, 2 o'clock in the morning, radiologist was there. And then they did it, and, you know, within 5 minutes, it was clear. And then he brought me back, and I was back by 4 o'clock, so that was like a miracle. I left and came back by 4. And I remember I was just, at that time I would just really, I didn't really think there was any particular danger. Had I been a little more, I don't know, if I had a little more time, or maybe if I wasn't so tired, I would have said that I know I've got problems with my lungs. I don't think I've got an embolism. It's just my lungs are weak in a certain aspect. But anyway, that was clear. But anyway, what had happened was that because of the antibiotic that they gave, which I gave twice, once when I had the operation and then once afterward, and the dye, both of these things were very bad for my kidneys. So my kidneys started to go to sleep, and ultimately it was sort of what they call kidney failure. With the creatinine, all these things started to go up. So it was very, very bad experience. The first sort of communique I got, I remembered when I didn't know about any of this, and then still on Friday morning when they came to give me the second antibiotic, because, you know, they do it, they inject it into the stud, huh? Well, there's already something here, and with which the drip goes into, and I just heard this voice. This is not good for you, and I knew, no, this, you know, I stopped and they're doing it in the middle. And then from then on, things started to get bad for a week, huh? A week. So very, I was, you know, nauseous. I was not. You wanted to turn it off?
No. She was just wondering why I was moving this way.
Oh.
No, so take your jacket off.
Yeah, I was nauseous. Horrible thing, nausea. Actually, I had no pain in all the time. I was never really in pain. But not nausea. It was just horrible. You know, anything. No smell. I couldn't drink water. I couldn't stand the taste of water. And I don't know, for a day I didn't want to eat. But then I realized if I don't eat, it's not going to be good. And the other thing was that I needed to drink because the kidneys need liquid. So finally I sort of latched on to apple juice, which I'm not really a great friend of apple juice, but I was drinking apple juice. And of course, anyway, you saw the hospital. It's like a five-star hotel. And, you know, there's constantly people coming and going. But these things... And then things started to happen one after another. I had a runny nose. Not really a bad cold, but a runny nose from the Watford experience. And got off light. And from that, I got this water on the ear, which means that I couldn't hear properly. And there was that pressure on my ear. And then I was... and then the other thing was that it seems like overall just the physical condition got so sort of debilitated that everything just sort of deteriorated. And then that's when my eye went, so I couldn't... You know, I was seeing double. Everything was double. And the only way I could see single was just look like this. And that was horrible. And then I got dizziness. That was like the word, like really, really dizzy. Like, you know, when kids used to do, they spin around just to get themselves dizzy. So it was like that. It was like constantly spinning, dizzy, day and night. And when I closed my eyes, it was worse. So it was like I couldn't sleep as a result of it either. It was so those things, that nausea and dizziness, and then finally, so I got around 3-4 days into it. I got clued in as to what was really happening. That you know, my kidneys had reacted very badly to the antibiotics and to that contrast, that CT contrast. And by this time, they brought a nephrologist, Dr. Andy Palmer, who's a kidney specialist. So he was coming in. And, oh yeah, no, once I had pain, and that was somewhere maybe in the second day or something like that, all of a sudden I started getting this horrible pain in my side. And you were there?
Yeah, the hernia.
Yeah, well, and then they brought in another doctor, Dr. Chopra. And he said it was due to hernia. It went away quite fast. But that was another thing. So it was the ears, it was the eyes, it was the hernia. It was the kidney. Kidney was the really sort of dangerous one. And that was going up and up and up and up. And so sort of the creatinine came up to 560. And then they said, if it hits 600, then you have to have dialysis. And I mean, I knew what dialysis was. I said, how does that go? And I says, put you on a machine and clean your blood. And their machine was also something that goes for 12 hours to do that. And the other was to go to, I don't know, Hammersmith or St. Mary's or something, where they have a machine that does it in 3 hours. But anyway, it's quite, you know, just the idea that's horrid. They, you know, they plug into your jugular vein in your neck. And that's where they, you know, more they take the blood out of your body and pass it through a machine and take out the excess electrolytes and so that was like, that's not what I want to be, plugged into a machine and just lying there. So good thing the next day it started coming down, and it started coming down, but then it came down very slowly. So that's how and all of this happened more or less in the first week to 10 days at the most.
It tend to come down after that week.
Yeah. But and usually it comes down as fast as it goes up, or even faster. Mine didn't. That's why it was always okay. So, and it couldn't complete actually the original operation, taking out the catheter and doing things, because everything was dependent on what condition the kidneys are in. Finally, when the doctor wasn't there, once I haven't had him take out this thing, so they don't put me on a drip anymore, and so then I had to start drinking. In other words, it wasn't mechanical. I mean, I was drinking as it is, and as the kidneys start to sort of improve, they go into a certain condition where they where they really start producing a lot of fluid. And you've always got to drink more than they produce, otherwise you dehydrate. And then I went up to, you know, one day I had to drink 8.5 liters. That's a lot. And then because it was coming down so slow, so this was going on even up until it was only 2 days ago that I got down to drinking 3.5 liters a day, which is sort of my normal. So I was up to 8, 7, 7, 7, 7, 6, like that. And then the next one was that the fact that they were very puzzled why it's taking so long. And so sort of the next threat was to do a biopsy, kidney biopsy. And that also didn't sound very good. But, you know, we discussed with the doctors and so on at that time, Pundarika and Hare Krishna, Sri Kanika, Sundananda, and the nephrologist, and so we sort of waited, but it would just sort of come down and then go like this, and then come down again and then go like this. And even right now, it's not normal. But they just stay steady for a week, and then it comes down a little, and then stay steady. But the long and short of it was that it came down to below 200, 275, at which point we decided, okay, now I could get discharged at that time, just finished off what the original procedure was about, and there was no real problem there. And then I went to Preeti's. So anyway, this was sort of the medical part, which took pretty long. They were supposed to be here a long time ago. Could turn that down. It's warmer here, isn't it? I've got the sweater on.
Turn it down or off?
Down.
Okay.
Off. You can turn it off, sure.
And then we can turn it back on, because it kind of, the temperature drops quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. And, so there were, no, I did have pain. I would get headaches. I would get afternoon headaches, very, very bad headaches. And of course they don't give you anything. They give you, what is it?
Just paracetamol.
Although I haven't been taking anything for headaches anyway for a couple of months. That was one of the things that when I was there about taking any more medicine of anything, it was just absolutely, absolutely necessary. I'm not taking any supplements, I'm not taking this or that.
The flushing is what reminded me of it.
Huh?
Flushing.
Flushing? Anyway, but that's... so I got... I used to have headaches, and then... but it was a good thing Shambi Harry came. Then he would do massages in the afternoon, and that sort of helped. And they were sort of muscular. It was just from just laying on the pillow, and because I was so tired, I had to sleep on my back all night. During the day I was up. I just take a rest after lunch. But otherwise, but I always have to lay flat on my back. Anyway, I had, and my practice was that, I never pray to Krishna or Radhishyam for anything, or just my main thing is that if I can just remember them, then I'm happy. And that was my main concern, to be able to just meditate on them, whatever happened, and so I didn't want to pray to them to relieve me from any condition. But one day when I was in the shower, I was listening to a tape from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was saying how the inhabitants of Vrindavan, whenever a demon comes, they just turn to Krishna and they just call to Krishna for help. And that night I was laying down, and then Shambi Harry had gone. He would usually go around 8, unless doctors came or something, and because he's always there with all the discussion with the doctors. And then I was laying down, and that must have been because then all the nurses go out. So I just worked out that they would only be allowed to come in once at night, midnight, and then aside from that, 9, they take the last blood pressure reading, they come in at midnight, and then they wouldn't come back until 6 a.m. I was usually up around 5. That's such a horrible headache. I just remember that, and I just started praying to Radhishyam, please take it away. And then as soon as I did that, it just went just like that. And I'm going to have to stop at that. I'll just mention the other, and then I don't know. I mean, one thing was the physical, and then the other was the psychological. You know, it's like always waiting. Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. In other words, things will get better. And I got on one side, I got this threat either of a biopsy and a dialysis, and you know what's really wrong, because they couldn't. The only way, if there was anything wrong with the kidneys, the only way they could figure out that there was anything other than just the fact that they'd gone to sleep was if they do a biopsy. So there's this whole psychological factor, and you know, it was like I came in for overnight, and then it was all right. Well, you know, we'll let you out next week, Thursday, and then it was the Thursday after that. And it was the Thursday after that, so that was like 3 weeks, and I was into about 3.5 weeks. And then one night when I was going to sleep, and then by then actually my eye had improved. One morning I sort of woke up, and they gave me, you know, I had this patch on the glasses, the prism, and that mechanically focused my vision. So that was all right. I was still dizzy. That's why Ananda Chaitanya got me this cane, and I was walking, but I was very, very dizzy.
Huh? Huh? Were you still suffering the nausea?
Nausea decreased. Nausea was really caused more by the urea, and all the other symptoms, they were all right. There was only this creatinine, and that was what was puzzling them, because usually they all move together. So why was this thing staying up? And that creatinine, that's to do with the muscles. And so I had this tingling from head to toe. I still have it, but now it's just very, very little. I have this, not painful, but just this constant tingling of all my muscles, from my feet all the way to the top of my head, literally speaking, everything. My hands. And so I was going to sleep, and I was just thinking it would be really nice if I just got some sign from Radha Shyam that, you know, things are coming to an end or something like that, and that they're actually overseeing this whole situation and that things are under their control. So then I had a dream that night, and I was in the temple room at the farm, and I came in from Radharani's side, and I came in there. And then all of a sudden, and the deities came alive, and Krishna Shyamasundar was just watching, and then Srimati Radharani was looking at me, and she was a little angry, and sort of a little hurt, and then she started talking very, very loud, with a real accentuated thing, just, you know, the message was really so that, you know, I get the message. And anyway, the message was that, you know, why are you doubting that, you know, everything's under our control? This is, what do we have to say, or what do we have to do in order to, you know, make believe that everything's all right, and whatever's happening is happening under our control. So then that was very reassuring. And now I have to stop. I've got to open this. But that was very nice. And then in the mornings, before Nanda Chaitanya would come, I used to sit at the window, and especially once I got my second heater, and I was able to chant japa, and I would just meditate on the outside, being Vrindavan, and it was. Very, very, very nice experience. So I'm just going to turn this off for a while. I'm going to have to get on Skype, because this is, I have to look at this now so that they can send the book to the printers tomorrow. And then I'll talk a little about some other sort of realizations. This will be sort of just the medical side of it. Hare Krishna.